everyone. Welcome to Televisions, the podcast, an audio companion to the Televisions website and a show made by Anglophiles for Anglophiles. I am Lacey Bogger-Miles, and I am the editor here at Televisions. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Miss Annie Bondle.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I made a really great cup of coffee this morning, and sometimes that's all you can ask from your day.
Yeah.
It was just really good. I cheated. I'm trying to, like, I don't know. The COVID-19 is real, you guys, so I'm trying to, like, do easy substitutions of things with less fat, but I gotta tell you, like, I cheated and used real half and half this morning, and it's so much
there
better.
There is just no substitute, for God's sake.
It's sakes. So much better than, I mean, I could tolerate the fat-free stuff, but it's not as good.
Yeah. We have a standing rule in this house that vitamin D milk only, because everything else is just, let's not pretend.
I don't really like milk, like, as a standalone concept. Like, I'll put it in stuff, I'll, like, eat cereal with it, but, like, I don't know, you see on TV all the time, like, people giving their kids, like, giant glasses of milk, and I'm like, that's just disgusting. That's disgusting.
Oh, no. That's not a thing. Though I do not actually eat cereal, so, no. At some point in my early 20s, I discovered that cereal was a thing that I didn't actually have to eat in the morning. Like, it wasn't a rule. Like, that wasn't a thing. Like, my entire life had been a lie, and I've never eaten it since.
Okay, you embrace your freedom, my friend.
What are we talking about today?
Hashtag adulting. I would rather keep talking about cereal, to be honest with you, because today we are going to talk about. Oh gosh, how do I even explain? We're going to talk about a show called Professor T.
Yes, there we go.
But it's not the Professor T that you think we're going to talk about, because for some reason someone has decided to make an English language version of this show. Which is a choice.
Let's rewind. Okay. So as our regular listeners know, we did an episode rather recently on Walter and Walter's Choice, which is basically sort of an anthology show in the same way that we have, like, you know, Masterpiece, where we have this guy, his name is actually Walter. He does actually exist. He's a real person who selects shows that are foreign language shows that he thinks
people really want to know how Walter got this gig. Why does Walter's opinion matter so much? Do you know that I could curate a channel of things? Like, Lacey's Choice could be a thing that we do.
So it started as Walter Presents over in the UK, and it was basically a little bit like Masterpiece is for us, but for the UK, and it being foreign language shows. So, like, European shows for, you know, the high-end European shows for British viewers, the way that Masterpiece is the high-end British shows for American viewers. And it was so popular over there that they then, you know, basically brought it over here. And Walter's Choice has been airing on PBS Passport since 2019, I want to say. 2018, 2019, something like that. It was definitely pre-pandemic. Like, it definitely was a thing for, like, at least a year before the pandemic. Anyway, the point is, one of the things that, you know, the thing is that we have this problem here in America that the bias against the 1-inch subtitle at the bottom of your screen. And so one of the things that Walter has been doing with this company that he built basically on the concept of Walter's Choice is he started also taking the most popular of the foreign language programs and remaking them in the UK in English for British audiences. Those shows are now starting to come over here. Professor T is one of the Walter Presents shows that's a Walter's Choice show over here. His name is Jasper Terlink. He's referred to as Professor T. He's a professor of criminology, and he basically, like, works in, like, the university that's Belgium. This is a Belgian TV show, and basically it's a mystery show. It's a murder of the week kind of show. And basically it begins when one of his former students, who is now an inspector, runs into a a case that happens on campus, and they sort of run into a wall and she needs help. So she goes back to her professor and she's like, listen, you're actually really good at solving crimes. Why don't you help me? And like at first, Professor T is like, I don't want to help you. This is not what I do. I am a professor. I am a fastidious, you know, very, you know, sort of neurotic, like think monk, basically, you know, and he's like, I don't want to help you. I don't want to get into this. And she basically doesn't give up and keeps poking at him and poking at him until he finally gets really curious about the case. And then he helps her solve it. And then it sort of becomes a thing where, like, he is now sort of her, like, they're sort of the odd couple of solving crimes. One is a professor and one is an inspector. You know, it's the same sort of setup that we've seen in a lot of British mystery shows. It's the same sort of, like, you know, a little bit dark, a little bit scary, kind of spooky mystery shows. The Belgian version is actually extremely popular, both in the UK and here in America.
Let me put it to you this way. We have a lot of the Walter Choice shows on PBS Passport, and they are very popular among our viewers. And if this tells you anything, my mother-in-law loves Professor T. Like, loves it. Not what I would... She watches a lot of mystery shows and stuff because she's kind of like right in that sweet spot of PBS viewer demographics for this, but like she constantly asks me about Professor T, and she doesn't mean this remake one, she means the Belgian one. So there,
and I would say it's a little bit like a Belgian version of Monk. You know, and if you really, if for American viewers, if you like Monk, you will probably get something of a kick out of this. But when I say that, I mean the Belgian version. Because I have now watched the Belgian version, the first three episodes of the Belgian version, and the first three episodes of the English version, which is what just debuted here on Masterpiece following Unforgotten. So it airs basically at Unforgotten's on at 9 and Professor T is on at 10. And the UK version of Professor T, like, it has a pretty good cast. Like, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, like Ben Miller plays Professor T. He's from Death in Paradise. Frances de la Tour is his mother. She's fantastic.
Why is she in the show?
I don't know why she's in the show, but God, she's amazing. Like, she is the only thing that makes me laugh about the UK version of the show. I'm sorry. Emma Naomi is Lisa Donkers, who's the inspector, who is the former student of Professor T. Like this is a good cast, right? Like, you have like I recognize basically everybody in it. I'm like, oh, I've seen them in this, and I've seen that, and I've seen her in this, and I've seen him in that. Like, that's, you know, this is very much that kind of show. Like, it's very much a who's who of PBS kind of thing. Emma Naomi she's from Bridgerton. Like, people will actually recognize her from Bridgerton. And, you know, as I said, Frances de la Tour, like, if you don't recognize her, I don't know what to do with you.
She was the headmistress of the French magic school in Harry Potter.
Oh, that's right. Like, I'm like, I know I've seen her like a million things, but yes, Harry Potter is probably the one everybody knows.
I was trying to come up with the one that I thought everybody had seen, and she's the headmistress of what is it, Beauxbatons in Harry Potter.
Yeah, she's the giant lady in that Hagrid falls in love with, and I love her in that too.
And also, wasn't she in Vicious? Wasn't she like the bestie in Vicious?
Yes, she really was. I have now watched the first three episodes of both the Belgian show and the UK show. There is also, by the way, a German remake as well, which I have not watched.
What?
Yes, this is actually the second time the show's been remade. There was already a German remake before this happened.
I need to get something off my chest a little bit here with this, and that is about this concept of remakes and the idea that a recreation is the same thing as a remake, which is mostly what these shows appear to be. And I just, like, I feel like I would be a lot less salty about this if the UK version took the concept and did something different or new with it. But it sounds to me, and trust me, I am basing this off of a rant you will probably hear in a minute, because I'm basing this off of Annie's text to me, because I did not watch the Belgian version because I did not enjoy the UK version. So I was like, do you know what? I don't want to put any more of this man in my eyeballs. So I did not. But it sounds to me like it is a just a copy of the Belgian version, but with people speaking English instead of what language do they speak in Belgium? Is Dutch?
Yes.
I don't even know. Whatever non-English language they are speaking. And it's just really like, it's so, why bother? Like, why? If you're not going to do anything new with the characters or the material, like, just let people watch the one that already exists. Like, make something else. Recreation is not the same. A remake and a recreation are not the same thing. Like, if you want a remake of something, I don't know, look at Westworld, which is the remake of a movie. And a much different and more interesting, to me anyway, concept of like what to do with the bones of this story instead of just being like, here's the movie, but on TV.
So the first episode of Professor T in the Belgian series is basically it's Diana Tyson is violently attacked. That's the UK version. Sorry. The Belgian version is Diana Tyson is raped. Right? And in the bathroom. And basically, Dunkers thinks of her old professor in criminology might help. And she has a friend who was raped on campus 10 years ago. And she thinks that both cases are similar, but she needs Professor T to sort of help her make that link. Funny enough, the UK version starts with Diana Tyson was violently attacked in the university campus. And D.I. Lisa Dunkers, who sex the adult, is very similar to one that happened years beforehand of her friend. And for the record, just so that we're all clear here, the German version, which I have not actually seen, but I looked up the synopsis, at a student party on campus, student Diana is brutally raped. So we basically have, this is the first episode of all three versions. And I thought to myself, well, you know, maybe it's just that the first episode, let's just do the first episode and then we'll go off and we'll do our own thing. And I started reading the synopsis of the other German episodes. And actually, no, they're all very different. There's one where a wife is witness to a murder. There's one where a plastic surgeon is found dead. There's a escort found dead in a bathtub by her roommate that looks like suicide but isn't. Right. Like these are very different. You know, that if you look at the Belgian one, the second episode is a head librarian of the university is poisoned at a reception. Well, that's very different from the German version. But then you turn on the UK version, which just aired this past Sunday, and oh, there's a poisoning at the reception. Now, I will say, for those who are trying to hang in there for episode three is actually different from the Belgian version. It's a different episode. It's about a jeweler instead of the Belgian one, which is basically about a school evaluation team. So we do eventually sort of diverge and we do start telling different stories. But the first two are basically like, I have watched them both back to back and they are in places almost shot for shot remakes.
I did not, because I love myself.
There are some things that are different. One of which is that like there's more personality to the extra characters in the UK version. Like they all get backstories in a way that we're not really getting in the Belgian version. There's
extra characters who, like the other cops.
Yeah, the other cops. Like that whole thing where Lisa and she kind of went on a date. Sort of, she went for drinks with like her colleague, and they're sort of, and she doesn't
He's cute. Get that girl.
Yeah, like that whole thing. Like that whole thing doesn't exist in the Belgian version. And the reason that doesn't exist in the Belgian...
I think we don't know his name, so that clearly landed really well.
Yeah. So,
I'm sure he has a name in the show. Yeah. I more meant that I don't remember it and don't care that I don't know it.
It's Dan. And the other one in the UK show is Paul. The older guy whose daughter is dead is Paul. But anyway, it doesn't matter, though, because, like, those are things that are added for the UK show that don't exist in the Belgian show. And one of the reasons the Belgian show is better is that they don't. No, honestly, like one of the things about the Belgian show is that it is so much more streamlined. Like when the UK show, the opening episode.
Is it shorter?
It's slightly shorter, but it's also just like the storytelling is more streamlined. So when we start with the rape case in the UK version, we meet Lisa and Dan and all the other and Paul and all the people who are like, you know, basically all the cops, and they're trying to solve it on their own and they're working together. And then there's this whole like, like rigmarole where they sort of fight to figure out how to get Lisa to decide that she needs to ask Professor T about this, right? And there's this whole sort of uncomfortable, awkward, how do we get him in?
I hate this. His name is the title of the show, people. Okay. Like, can we just keep it moving?
Well, that's exactly what the Belgian show does. The Belgian show literally, it starts with, no, we're going to go meet my old professor because I've hit a wall in this case and I'm not even playing with this. And like, instead of having the whole, like, let's show that Lisa's life is a complete like disaster because she went on this date with this guy and that she, and we have this whole backstory of her life that shows that she's a mess. No. The British, in the Belgian version, like, no. She's just a mess. Like, she's just like you take one look at her and like, she's dressed sloppily. Her hair is all over the place. She runs into one of her other old professors who says, yes, I still see you in my nightmares when I eat bad things. Right. Like, it is totally like, you just know she's a mess. They don't spend time on it. They just streamline it.
I wish more television remembered that context clues are a thing. Mm-hmm. And you don't actually have to like spell everything out for us. Like,
exactly.
Like I
that.
Said, we all know the entire premise of the show is that Professor T is going to solve crimes. Like, can we just keep it moving to the part where he solves crimes? Like, he doesn't officially even join their team until the end of the second episode. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Whereas in the first episode, he is part of the team within like 15 minutes. In the Belgian version. Like, it is really not like this. The other thing, and this was the thing that really startled me the most, is, and it really hit me partly because of what you said when we were chatting about it beforehand. You said, this isn't funny. And I realized to myself, no, this isn't funny. And then I started watching the Belgian version and I burst out laughing.
Oh, how weird.
It is actually really funny. Is it
the dialogue that's funny? Or...
The dialogue is funny. When she walks up to her, when she's like looking for Professor T, and she runs into her old professor, and the professor just looks at her in this like dead and deadpans, yes, I see you in my nightmares when I eat bad things. Right? Like, it's just, it's funny. Like, I cracked up. And I was
because
like,
I feel like the comparison most people draw for this show, or at least like mentally, like if you give them something that they can kind of do a comp to, it's Monk.
Yes, that's what it
which
is.
Was a show that ran for like 7 seasons, maybe 8 seasons. It ran for a long time on USA, and it was really USA was at the time was very famous for doing sort of like blue sky dramas where it wasn't like where everything was sort of light and funny, and even though he was like investigating murders, it was still like not dark about it. And the show poked a lot of fun at his various foibles, because Monk, the thing about Monk is that he's obsessive compulsive, oh no. But
yeah,
you know, so they get a lot of mileage out of that and sort of situational comedy, which is someone who is also mildly OCD, I find a little off-putting. But this is just like, I don't know. There's a lot more rape in this show to start with, which I really could do without. Dear everyone making television, can we please come up with some way to get people to do things that doesn't involve violence against women? It's really like not a huge lift. You guys can do it. You're grownups. But this show is like Monk had a very sort of lighthearted attitude to it, which I feel like Professor T tries to copy with those weird like dream interludes that he has that are so...
In the Belgian version, it's funny. It's actually funny. And like, okay, so you know that opening scene in the classroom where like he's attacked by, in the first episode, there's the opening scene in the classroom where he's attacked and like they steal and the guy steals his stuff. And in the UK version, it's sort of shocking and oh my God, what just happened? In the Belgian version, like it happens and it's sort of shocking, but then the moment you realize that he faked it and that it's fake, it's so funny.
I thought that was just really weird.
No, like the humor just isn't translating into the UK version, and I don't know why.
I'm talking more about the weird. I am thinking specifically of the weird. They're almost like dream sequences that he has. Like,
yeah, no. They happen. They happen in the second episode too. Like there's a whole scene where like
the scene where the cheerleaders have the sign that spells infidelity, and they're doing like. sexual dances,
right.
And I'm just like, this isn't funny. Like, and I'm just supposed to, and I don't know, and maybe it's because the UK show has almost no, like, I started to say sense of humor, but I also, I don't know if I mean sense of humor or like self-awareness or just like what I mean precisely, but like, I don't know if I'm supposed to read that as like, oh, this is funny because he doesn't know how to talk to people, or wow, this man is crazy. Like, because that's not normal and it's weird. And I don't like, the show doesn't give me any context for how I'm supposed to take that. Like, he has the weird scene where he's dancing with what's her name on the roof. Yep. And like, what is that?
Again, in the Belgian version, these kinds of interludes come off a lot better. They're a lot funnier. And I think you mean self-awareness. When that there is a level of
weird.
You need a level of like I can step back from myself and point and laugh at myself that we don't get in the UK version.
I don't feel like this character, or maybe the Belgian version of the character is more three-dimensional or something, but I don't feel like this version of the character has that kind of self-awareness. I mean, the show doesn't either, but I think the character specifically does not. Like, it's really weird. Like I was saying with Monk, like part of the thing is that Monk like realizes how I say weird, but I don't mean that in a pejorative way. Maybe just different is a better word. Like the many things that he does because he's OCD are or he just realizes that it's not something that people do normally. This, I do not get that at all. Like, I don't get any sense that Professor, Professor Tempest in the UK version, because I guess his other T name was too hard. But like, I don't get any I don't have any idea how he feels about the way that he is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's weird child flashbacks because, of course, he has a damaged relationship with his mother. Because
right, and the mother is
obviously.
And I think another thing is that as much as I love Frances de la Tour, there is a level where she can't get past the fact that this isn't landing funny. She's supposed to be funny.
Right? She seems to be like in a different show.
She's supposed to be funny. She's trying really hard to be funny. That whole thing about you won't get through the front door because of the millions of wet wipes is supposed to be funny.
And it just sounds cruel.
It comes off as cruel. And the only reason that I realized how funny that was supposed to be is because I watched the Belgian version.
I mean, it's just like that character feels like she wandered in from like the soundstage next door because like she is so loud. Mm-hmm. And so like visually colorful and so everything that virtually every other character in the show is not. And it's really, I think if I didn't like Frances de la Tour, I would despise this character because she's really annoying. I just really like Frances de la Tour. And I also don't care about their stupid relationship.
I will say the other thing, and this was the thing that really, really struck me, and more than the funny thing, is how much more violent the UK version is.
Again, I understand what rape is. Like, you can just tell me that a woman was assaulted in a bathroom, and I got you. I know what happened. I don't need to see her being, like, viciously wrestled to the ground and having somebody, like, physically mime raping her against a bathroom stall.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Keep it. Keep it.
In the Belgian version, he appears behind her, he grabs her, he pushes her into the bathroom stall, and the door closes, and we don't see anything else.
Like, you could just show me him grabbing her in the bathroom and I can figure it out,
yeah.
Y'all.
Like,
I'm a woman. I live in the world.
Right? Like, it is actually, and again, because the first two episodes are the same mystery. Like, I feel like if they'd just done the first one the way the German one did, and then the second mystery had been different, I wouldn't have felt this as strongly. But having literally seen the same mystery done twice by two different casts in two different countries, it is extremely obvious, especially in the first one with all the rape. Because the second one is poisoning, and it's not quite as, I mean, and there's another death that happens later. And anyway, like, it just, there's just more lingering on the violence. There's more lingering on the bodies. There's more lingering there's more emphasis on the creep factor. Like, I felt the creep factor going into, in that opening scene when she's going into the bathroom.
It might just have been because I just watched Unforgotten, but even when they were interviewing the dude who was guilty at the end, I was like, he's a child murderer. I don't know. Because he was so like menacing. Mm-hmm. And
right. The UK version just feels more more menacing in all things. Like, you feel the menace of it when Diana goes into the building and when she goes in the bathroom, and even when she like runs into like a friend outside in the hallway and sort of jump scares, and it's, you just feel the tension. In the Belgian version, you actually kind of don't feel that. Like, oh, she's hurrying home because she really, really has to pee, right? Like, it's not, no, really, it's much more like, it's so much, it's just lighter. It's just lighter. And it doesn't have like the first sense that you get that something bad is about to happen is when she turns off the water in the bathroom and there's drip, drip, drip. And then she looks up and then there's the guy behind her. And yeah, like it is so, in a way, it's almost more of a jump scare because there wasn't that buildup. But at the same time,
which honestly feels like, granted, I didn't watch this, so I can't speak to the specifics of the scene. But to me, that concept feels more real life.
Yeah,
because that's what happens, is that you're just living your life and something awful happens. It's not like, oh no, I better not go into that poorly lit building with the flickering lights. I may be putting myself in danger. Like, so I'm just tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of this.
I also, and this is sort of, now that I sort of know what you know, Professor T is, and I've seen the original version, and I see what it is they're trying to copy, and I see one of the things that really got me when I first watched the UK, because I watched the UK version first, and I watched the first episode with the rapes first, and I said to myself, why do we have this intensely rote mystery being the lead thing that we tell everyone that Walter's choice is now going to produce? Why is this? And having then seen the Belgian version, my response was, oh, okay, no, we are actually copying the Belgian version. That's why we start with this mystery. And because Professor T is so popular, that's why this is the one we're pushing. But I really feel like this is an intensely unfortunate way to introduce these new Walter's Choice in English remakes to people. Because, you know, I admit, I watch British mysteries for a living. I watch television for a living. I have to think about television for a living. It's kind of my job. It's what they pay me for. And I know a lot of people don't actually do that. They put on television, they sit down, they, I don't know, start knitting, start staring at their phone, half watch. I don't know how normal people watch television. Please tell me how you watch television, because I don't actually know. I'm sorry. I sit with a notepad and take notes.
Oh, I don't go that far. I'm somewhere in the middle of the people staring at their phone, the people watching intensely.
Oh no. I literally have it on one screen, and then I have my notes in the second screen, and then I have like my chat box in the third screen, and the chat box is where like I say all the things I'm not actually putting in my notes. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is I know I don't watch television the way normal people do, so perhaps I overthink this a bit, but like my response to this is a terrible way to introduce Walter's Choice, at least to me. Right? Like, if I had literally never watched a single Walter's Choice thing on PBS Press Room, and I have actually watched some of the Walter's Choice, like, there are some Walter's Choice things I do really like. But I hadn't watched Professor T because, you know, I do mysteries for a living, and I don't feel like, you know, I don't really feel like sitting down and watching mysteries when I'm not working. When I watched this, I thought to myself, if this is literally the first thing I'd ever seen from a Walter's Choice thing, and I was told that this is what Walter's Choice is, I would be like, and Walter's Choice? Never mind. Walter's Choice is a thing I can skip. Walter's Choice is a thing that's derivative. I've already get plenty of this in much better format from Masterpiece.
You know what? That's a really great word for what the show feels like to me, is derivative, because I have not seen Walter's Choice, but I still felt like I have seen the show before, because I watched Monk, I've watched other shows that are about, look how this main character has some kind of debilitating mental condition and he still solves crimes or whatever the thing is. It's usually solves crimes. But like, I get that they wanted to remake this because the original is very popular. That is a natural thing. It happens all the time. People are lazy when it comes to making TV shows and they want to go with a known quantity that has like a built-in track record. But like, I don't know. Like, this doesn't even feel like a good remake. And I say that having not even seen the original. But like, and I get why they wanted to make this, but I feel like they did the least amount of effort. Like, this is skating your final exam. Like, this is the least amount of effort they could have put into remaking the show.
I get that they want to go with something safe. Okay, like I get that because safe is proven and proven is and that way you if you're going to try and launch a new thing that sort of rivals Masterpiece Theater, which has literally existed for 50 years, like you don't want to take a huge risk here. You want people to, hey, we're more of what you already know and love. Like, I get that. But you know what? They have Seaside Hotel. Like, I don't know if you've seen Seaside Hotel. Seaside Hotel is actually one of my favorite Walter's Choice shows. It is a little Downton Abbey. It is a little mystery. It is a little Miss Marple. It is a little Agatha Christie. I love it. Why didn't we do that? Like, because it's different than Professor T. Professor T is a thing we've seen before. We've seen it 100 times. Seaside Hotel, it's a little, I just described 3 shows you've already seen to describe it. And so, yes, of course, it's a little derivative, but it's also the way it's put together feels very fresh and new. And I feel like even if they didn't do a great remake of it, it would still have that sense of feeling fresh and new.
Yeah. And like I said, I just don't, like, outside of this being a remake, it just doesn't even feel like it's doing, like, it feels like I've seen it without having seen it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just,
yeah,
I don't know. It's really hard to overcome that, yeah. I think.
And I mean, like, if you wanted to come up with something that wasn't different, that was something that everybody sort of recognizes, like, there's also shows like Line of Separation, Resistance, right? Like, yes, the World War II dramas. Yes, we've seen those.
They do have a lot of Nazi shows.
They do have a lot of Nazi shows. But, like,
you know what would have been interesting? And this just burst into my head. Like, if you need to remake this show, make it about a woman. Like, do something. Do the show, but change something so you at least, like, so it says something new and different. Like, make Professor T like Professor Trelawney or something. I mean, not really, but like, it's just the first T name I thought of, and we've been talking about Harry Potter. But, like, you know, make it not Jasper, but Jessica or something. Like, do something. Like, this is just really, this is you copied out of the intro to the book for your final. And I, therefore, you get a C.
I'm very curious how audiences will take this, because, you know, one of the other things I feel like is that this has sort of been flying under the radar, and that's partly because Unforgotten is huge. Everybody loves Unforgotten. I love Unforgotten. And so, of course, that's the one that, like, that everybody is pushing right now. Like, Masterpiece is pushing it. PBS is pushing it. I see trailers for Unforgotten all over the place. I see random YouTubes about Sonny's backpack. I see, like, I see so much content that's, like, reminding me that Unforgotten is out there to be put in my eyeballs. And I don't feel like there's a lot of that for this remake. And I can't tell if that's also because, like, it doesn't lend itself to it because it is so derivative that there's nothing new to, they're not saying anything new, so there's nothing new and fun to do with it. I don't know.
Well, the other thing too is, like, I don't know how to describe this show unless I actually specifically say it's a remake of a Belgian show about a professor who solves crimes but also has OCD. And but because if I try to, I don't know what it is, and maybe you can tell me if the Belgian show does this better, but I feel like the whole hinge of this show is that Professor T is, you know, he's obsessive compulsive, he's germophobic, he's whatever, but I feel like that's about, like, the sixth thing that the show actually focuses on. But I feel like it's what they expect the show to, how do I say this? I feel like that's what they think differentiates this show from other shows in this sort of same lane, but it does nothing with it. Like, nothing.
So,
like, Monk did more.
The Belgian version does it less and yet more effectively. So, like, when we first meet Professor T at the very beginning of the season, at the very beginning of the series, like, we get him snapping on the gloves, we get him doing all the wet wipes, we get him doing the whole rigmarole. The rigmarole is a tenth of that in the Belgian version, and it lands so much more effectively.
Interesting. Like, why? Why do you, why? What do they do that's different?
Well, first of all, they don't focus on the gloves quite so much. They focus on, like, the hand sanitizer. And they focus on him cleaning everything. So he quickly quickly and efficiently cleans everything. So you get simply from the context clues that he does this all the time. And that this is not just a thing he's doing obsessively, but a thing that he does that's second nature to him, to the point that he doesn't even have to think about it. Whereas the UK version, Ben Miller laboriously does all these things. Each thing takes twice as long. It doesn't feel like a thing that is so ingrained in his system to the point that he can't not do it.
And I have to say that one thing the pandemic has taught me is to be very wary of gloves like that, because honestly, all you're doing is picking up dirt from one place and putting it in another place.
I will say that's the other thing that sort of struck me, because the Belgian version also focuses much more on hand sanitizer than it does on the gloves
Which I think means speaks to us right now. We are a culture of hand sanitizer.
Right? Like,
I can see two different bottles of hand sanitizer right now, and I know there's a third one in my purse.
Knowing this, that was made in 2015, I'm sure it landed very differently. But now it's just like, well, of course, as his classroom is being set up, someone puts a giant bottle of hand sanitizer on his desk. Why wouldn't they? Right? Like I know it's supposed to be odd, but it actually doesn't land nearly as odd. And I think that also sort of doesn't help. I think in a way that's partly why the UK version almost overdoes it. Because it knows that the world's a little different now, where this was made 5-6 years ago, so it doesn't. But everything about the Belgian show is just so much more efficient and lands just better. Like, it has this inherent understanding that it has to be funny, and that if it's not, it's not going to work. Where the UK version is like, we're funny, right? And that's just not... Right,
like
just...
I wish you guys could see like the sort of full body gesture that he just made right there. It was so good.
Like I can't, right? Like okay, I'm gonna make a really weird analogy and you guys gotta follow me. You know how when Disney tries to remake Muppets and they simply assume that the Muppets are zany because they are Muppets? And they don't actually do anything zany with them because they assume that simply by being Muppets, they are zany.
I will say I liked the weird ABC show of the Muppets where it was like a mockumentary with them. I know I'm like one of five people who did.
But the movies did it too. Like the movies really sort of failed to make the Muppets zany. They assumed that the Muppets were inherently zany from simply by existing. I feel like the UK version of Professor T assumes it is funny simply because it exists, and that no one is actually trying to be funny because they think they don't have to be. And the Belgian version knows that no, that humor has to land, because if it doesn't land, there's no show. Right? Like, I really do feel like that is part of the problem.
Like, you know, I feel like I said, we've both said this already in this episode, but I feel like the existence of this show is almost entirely predicated on the fact that the first one is popular, mm-hmm. and that they did not think about
why this one needed to be popular. Yes, absolutely.
Well, not even why it needed to be popular, like why it needed to exist, other than the fact that it's in English. Like, is that the only reason they thought that?
I actually do think that, yes. I mean, so you asked what language they speak in Belgium. It's actually, they speak Dutch and they speak German and they speak English, which is why the first time they remade it, they instantly remade it in German, because that's the other dominant language of that country. And I feel like I can at least understand why you would make both a Dutch and a German version for a country where those are the two dominant languages. So there's two versions that, depending on what you speak, that's the one you watch. Either version would be fine for us. This isn't a show from our, you don't need to remake it in English. Like, you didn't need to remake it in English. And the fact that Walter's Choice whole endealment here is that they are bringing you the best of European foreign language shows. So why is their next step to then take those shows and dumb them down and turn them into English language remakes? Like, isn't that like literally like the opposite of your of what you were trying to do? Like, do you just think, oh, well, and now this is how we reach the dumb people? Like, I just no.
Again, the gesture there was a killer. But yeah, like I said, like I don't know. I know that television is a craven industry, mm-hmm. and that it is driven by very, you know, it's driven by money most of all. But usually there is a little, like at least a facade of a don't look at the man behind the curtain as to why some project gets made. But I cannot help but think that this got made simply because they thought it would make money. Like, it literally does and says nothing original. And it just feels like, I hate it when the people who make stuff in this industry that I love don't respect the people that watch their stuff. And this does not feel like they respect their audience at all. This feels like, we made this show because you're too dumb to watch the one with subtitles and you won't notice that it's exactly the same, and we took the laziest route to make it possible. And I feel like, again, I'm jumping on this, I really do like Ben Miller a lot. He was my favorite one of the detectives in Death in Paradise, and I think he's a really good actor. And I think it does take a lot of work to come off as this like big of a jerk, but I just think he is so ill-served by virtually everything around him. It's
I half agree with you. The thing I disagree with is that this was made to make money. No, this was made to make Walter's Choice a viable masterpiece rival. That's what I feel like this was made for.
Interesting. Are they making, like, I feel like you've Googled this and I certainly have not, but are they, are there others in this weird, like, kaiju hybrid?
Yes, there are. There are others in the, yes, there are other, this is the first of a planned series. Like, they made an entire production company. You don't go and make an entire production company just to make one show. They are planning to do this with other shows too. This is a thing that I would very much expect to fill the PBS, to fill PBS time slots going forward, is that we get more of these. Absolutely, I do. And I would.
So what, there'll be like an English, like the one about the village that the Nazi comes to the village, yeah, like, or whatever it is.
Like if we get, like, you know, we get an English language version of No Second Chance, or we get like Before We Die, or I can't think of the other ones. I mentioned Line of the Separation and Resistance. Cause I've actually
No Second
those.
Chance feels like a really good option, because that is sort of in that lane of like a Hannah or a Lady, like, yeah, vengeance show kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Like, I really feel like, yes, there were going to be others of this. Absolutely. I just feel they started with Professor T because it was safe, and that they thought it would be the easiest hit to hit on the way out the gate.
It might be the one that people know the best, yeah, too. At least in America, yeah, for sure.
So I don't think, I think you're wrong in that we made this to make money. No, we made this because we wanted this to be a success and we thought this was the sure thing.
The ultimate umbrella goal there is still to make money.
I absolutely agree with you that I feel like this is dumbed down and that it doesn't respect the audience. And as someone who is the exact audience for this, who literally, like, has dedicated her life to doing this as a job. Yeah. Yeah. No, don't disrespect me like this, man. Not cool.
I don't know if it's possible to feel insulted while watching a TV show, but I pretty felt insulted by the show, because it's also not like its mysteries were particularly smart.
They are. And, you know, like, listen, like, Miss Fisher's mysteries aren't particularly smart either, but I love both of them. Like, they respect me, right? Like, that's all I ask. Just respect me.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's no way this show doesn't get a second season too.
I mean, there are three seasons of the Belgian version. I believe there are at least two of the German version. I don't remember if there's actually two or three. No, there's more. There's four. So there's actually more of the German version. So yes, I absolutely expect that this UK version will at least get a second season, if not more. I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually a mild hit, in that people turn it on and sort of let it play in the background and sort of watch it because it's fine. I wouldn't be surprised by that. But personally, I want more from you, Walter.
We're judging you, Walter.
Yes, I am judging you. We're gonna do Lacey and Annie's Choice one of these days.
That's, this podcast is our first step towards the domination of our own recommendation line. She will handle the mysteries. I will do the period dramas, and it'll be great. I'm actually really great at recommending TV. Like, Greg will back me up on this, because I recommend TV to him all the time. But, and everything I recommend him is great, because I watch a lot of TV and I enjoy a lot of TV that I can recognize as demonstrably bad. So I don't recommend that to people. I'm really like good at it.
It's my party trick, recommending TV to people. Like if because I'm so shy at parties and I never know what to talk about. Like I tell people, oh, I review TV for a living. They go, oh, what should I watch? And I basically that's what I do all the until Rob's like, OK, it's time to leave. Like that's what I do. Like that's my party trick.
One, what are parties? two, I met my roommate when I first moved to D.C. by granted, I was a little may have been a little inebriated at the time by reciting the Canterbury Tales prologue from memory while slightly inebriated at a party because I am incredible and everyone should want to be my friend. Anyway, I think we are clearly done talking about Professor T. So, Annie, tell the people where you live on the internet where they can get their own TV recommendations from you.
You can find me at Annie Bundle on Twitter. You can find me at Miss Annie Bundle on Facebook. You can find fuzzy pictures of my adorable cats at Annie Bundle on Instagram. Let's see. I am a staff writer at Elite Daily. I also am a, I guess, what is my actual title? I'm associate editor at...
I don't know. I don't even know what my title is right
okay,
now.
I'm going to call
myself... Whatever your title is.
I'm sure...
You just did paperwork. You should know.
I should actually look. Anyway, I'm now something at televisions.org more than just a contributor, which is really great because it means I get to write for televisions.org way more than I used to. Let's see. I also freelance around the web. This week, I am reviewing Sexy Beasts, the UK reality show where they wear prosthetic heads when they go on dates because we're an
I am no joke fully excited for this show. Like, I can't wait. My best friend and I are going to watch this like on Zoom together or something because it's like straight in our lane. It looks so bad and so great.
Yeah, so I will be reviewing that this week, and I will also be reviewing Ted Lasso. Please look out for that. I basically retweet all of my bylines, so the best way to know what I've written this week is to follow me on Twitter. So yeah, be my friend on Twitter, and hopefully you'll see pictures of my cats there too.
I am also on Twitter at LacyMB. That is LacyMB. And I can absolutely do the Canterbury Tales on command for you if that is something that you would be interested in. No one ever is. But I ask because I live in hope. I have two adorable cats who are about to turn 1 year old in a couple of weeks. So check out their growth into giant house panthers at Baker and Hammer on Instagram. And if you don't want any of that, you could follow the site and the pod on social at Televisions Blog, all one word, on Facebook, and Tele_Visions on Twitter. We are a product of WETA, and if you like what we do, you can visit us on televisions.org to get some more of it or support us by clicking on that donate button up top. FYI, you will also be helping public media, which I think we can all agree is great. I don't know. It's summer. I feel like now that more people are getting vaccinated, I don't have my standard spiel to do at the end, which is great, except it means that I have to think of something else to say here. But I'll continue to say get vaccinated, so everybody please, please do that. But in the meantime, take it easy on your friends, your neighbors, everybody that you meet. We are all going through some stuff right now as we figure out what the world looks like after all of this. I say after even though it's not over, but you know what I mean. We are glad you are here and listening with us. And I really hope that next week we will talk about something that maybe is a little better and more exciting and that we aren't just jumping on for 45 minutes. But you'll have to tune in and find out what that might be. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.